And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Here's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Glovers Cast, the only podcast dedicated to the National League South champions, Yeovil Town Football Club. I'm Ian. Dave is here. Hello, Dave.
Hello. How are we? All right?
Yep, living the dream. And Ben is here in his pretty in pink YTFC shirt. How are you doing, Ben?
Delightful. How the devil are you?
Yes, very good. Thank you. Very good. Feels like a little while since we spoke this week off. It's one pod a week nonsense. I missed you guys this week.
What did we do with our Thursday nights? Because I was bored. I felt a bit down, felt a bit in the dumps. I was like, this is not the Thursday nights I remember.
I feel I have to take more than a slice of responsibility for Thursday night being postponed, as I was on a train travelling back from London and I didn't actually get home until 10:30, which I think you'd have been more depressed if I'd have asked you to wait until 10:30 to speak about this for myself. that would have drained the enthusiasm from you, and I thought you'd have needed... I had a stack of French toast today the size of a small skyscraper, which was basically one giant block of sugar. That's what you would have needed to get through 10:30 on Thursday night, I think.
I think I was already asleep at 10:30.
Yeah,
we'd had a late night sorting out at our house before going back to Mum and Dad's house, where we've been living for the last 3 weeks while our bathroom's been done. So it was, Thursday postponement was absolutely fine. And we got to give people extra chance to vote for their favourite players, goals and young player of the season, which will come later. But first, the club announced the released, retained and returned list, I'm going to call it, with the loanees going back to their parent clubs. Headlines, Alex Fisher, Jake Hyde and Jordan Stevens all departing the club. Rhys Murphy and Sam Pearson being offered new deals for next season. And I guess Michael Smith, Sonny Blulow, Everton and Charlie Cooper have all had their contract extensions triggered. I suppose that one of the bigger surprises, which may become a bit clearer as time goes on, is obviously Jordan Maguire-Drew signed a new contract, but then went out on loan to Barnet and was going to be able to go there for free. Barnet lost in the playoffs, didn't they? And he played no part in that game. So I don't know if I don't know what's going to happen with that one. But yeah, Dave, what were your initial thoughts on the lists that came out this week?
Absolutely not surprised about any of it. If I had to write a list, it probably would have looked pretty similar to the one we said previously about Alex Fisher and how obviously he had a great end to the season. But I think that's the right decision. And Jordan Stevens, there's obviously a brilliant player there. But how many times has Ben mentioned Quavers when it comes to that man's hamstrings? Jake Hyde, similar, scored some important goals, but ultimately didn't play enough games. But I don't think it is a surprise, but I don't think Rhys Murphy is a surprise that they're offering him or they're talking to him about another contract. But that was another one that if he'd have gone, that probably would have been, I probably would have been surprised by that, but equally now they're offering him something, I'm a little bit surprised as well. So I was probably, on the fence with that one.
You're just surprised either way with Rhys Murphy.
Yeah, exactly. Not surprised. I'm just kind of like, like that. That noise. Not surprised.
Ben, anything jump out to you?
I thought we will need a bit more in the way of depth next season. And I thought that there was room for, with the potential to loan out or to sort of maneuver others around, there was a place for Josh Hours. next season. He hasn't played a lot of football, but he didn't do anything wrong. And there was an argument, I guess, that he could have stayed and then moved on out on loan somewhere and come back and been part of it and been in, been out. Same with, it's the same with Will Dawes, probably in that same boat of you can understand why the decision has been made. But similarly, the dude hasn't done anything wrong. I do think, and I stand by this, there was a place for Alex Fisher in the group next year. And I was last time we were chatted, I mentioned that it was a little bit hypocritical for me to say yes to Alex Fisher and no to Jake Hyde because of the two having very similar numbers in terms of goals and minutes and appearances and all the rest of it. But I think there was a place for Fisher, and I think I've justified it in my own brain by saying Jake Hyde has an injury problem. Alex Fisher had an injury, and that's it. And for me, if I was in charge, I think I'd be offering Alex Fisher something. I would. Not just because he's a good bloke, although actually that's not a bad thing, but because I think he had a place and he offered something a bit different that we didn't have at the back end of the season. And yeah, that's a shame. The young lads, Haste and Benjani. Benjani, I'm not shocked by. Unfortunately, he's not pulled up money trees at Melksham, which isn't a particularly high level. Unfortunately, we all would have loved to have seen Benjani go on and do well. Ollie Haste, it was a time to make a decision on Ollie Haste. He's 20, which is ridiculously young, but for a team moving into the National League, a decision had to be made. And you know, I think he'll go on and have an absolutely fine career somewhere. He's a good enough lad, and he's shown bits and pieces and picked up an award at Dorchester for players or fans player of the season or something. So we wish him nothing but the best. It's a shame that that hasn't worked out because, again, did nothing wrong at Boreham Wood last year. But we're stepping up now. And if he'd have stayed, he'd have been out on loan at National League South or something like that. So I can get it. I can understand it. Linton, that writing's been on the wall for a while. Yeah, nothing massively shocking. I think we need to clarify the sort of terminology of some of the things that we've got with regards to Jay Falston as well, by the way. It was described by Taunton as having an option to sign at the end of the season. Now, the way it was written, there's nothing to say that we have or haven't taken that option up. It's just that his loan has come to an end and contracts run out at the end of June or whatever it is. So his contract with them is still technically live, so to speak. So maybe that'll go on and find something else. And then who knows? Who knows on the rest? We'll wait and see what Bristol City say about Thomas, about Swindon say about Genesini, and Newport say about Joe Day. I keep refreshing their social medias to see what they're going to do with their end of seasons. But yeah, no huge shocks. I do think there was a place for a couple of others in there.
And you look at the core of the players that we're keeping hold of, Dylan Morgan, Frank Nuble, Jake Warnell, Alex Whittle, Morgan Williams, Worthy, Jordan Young, Sonny Bulo Everton, Charlie Cooper, Michael Smith, and then if you keep Murphy and Pearson as well, you know, I see no reason why Pearson would go. And I don't think Murphy's going to be our main striker next season, but to have a player like Reece Murphy around and to come off the bench is going to be huge. But I think, you know, it does leave us a little light in that centre forward position. So it wouldn't surprise me to see perhaps two, you know, we're shipping out Hyde and Fisher and Linton in terms of strikers. I know Linton's not played for us this season, but there's, you know, space for at least two strikers to come in to that team and into that squad. And I agree with about Hours, really. I thought I'd like Josh Hours to stay. It's one of those where how much is it up to him and how much is it up to the club as well? It might be one where he knows he's not going to get much of a look in and he needs to move on and play games and think
he's more than good at it. I think that with him and Dawes as well, because both of them must have known that they weren't going to be regulars. They haven't been regulars this season, but as you know, it's true, neither of them have done anything wrong, but I think it might have been more mutual for the two of them. You could tell from Alex Fisher's post that you know, I don't know if he was surprised, but yeah, I think with Josh Hours and the Will Dawes, it might be the best thing for them to go and play more regular football. Jay Falston's tweeted, hasn't he? And he said, let's see what the future holds with a little green heart emoji at the end of it. So that makes me think he'll be back.
And that would be nice.
That would be nice.
And they all leave as champions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. We've obviously got a big hole in goal. So hopefully the Joe Day contract has been written up and prepped. And it's just a matter of time of hitting that 30th of June. And he can sign on the line 1st of July. There we go. But a good call for next season. And we're going to be joined in the National League by... Who've we got? Who's gone up? Who's going up? We've got Boston in the playoff final, right? Boston.
Boston and Brackley in the north, and Worthing and Braintree in the south. So, yeah, I don't know who you fancy. I'd imagine that listeners of this podcast would say, well, Brackley's quite far south. I'll go for them. I would probably say Boston's quite far north. I'll go for them. I was very pleased to see Bromley get through today as opposed to Altrincham. Sorry to Altrincham fans out there, but yeah, I'd have been sad to lose them. Braintree, I never want to go to Braintree again. So Worthing, please. Even though
you know how I called Braintree big match bottlers? Mm-hmm. They haven't bottled either of their big matches, have they?
No, but didn't last week, I'm sure you said actually that they were, you fancied them in the playoffs.
I said their games would be really tight, and they have needed extra time to get through both Bath and Chelmsford. I didn't necessarily say I fancied them. I think I fancied Chelmsford, and they obviously did for Chelmsford in the semi. So depends how many tap-ins they can set up for Ollie Pearce, I guess, in the next round, in the final. They're not at Wembley, are they?
Don't think it's
Wembley. I wouldn't have thought so.
It's at Worthing, isn't it?
Who is it?
Yeah, it's at the home. Well, it's at the highest finishing positions ground.
Oh right, okay.
I don't think they set a neutral venue.
Right.
I can't imagine putting on Worthing versus Braintree at Wembley is gonna.
No, but you could put it on.
Good effect. Good use of money.
We have mentioned this before. There's no reason they couldn't play at another proper stadium somewhere in the south. Ridiculous.
Taunton,
who have got a lot of fixtures on this summer. When they're going to get to that pitch, by the way, they've got a charity game every other blooming week in there.
They can't recoup some of that money, haven't they?
Christ.
Okay. Well, it's about that time. It's the time of the season where Ben puts on his golden sequiny jacket and the floor is yours.
It's now time for the 4th Annual Glovies Awards, coming to you live from Glovers Cast HQ. Please welcome your host to the stage. Firstly, he's got a carbon footprint bigger than Taylor Swift after following the Glovers up and down the land this year. It's Mr. David Coates.
You're not going to expect me to sing as an intro to this, are you?
Can if you like. Okay, and he's got a new bathroom. And his dulcet tones have adorned the airwaves across the BBC network all season long. The CEO of the Glovers Cast is Mr. Ian Perkins.
Good evening. What an introduction. And I was hoping Dave was going to sing because he's sung so many times on the podcast this season that I only felt
well. I'm waiting for Taylor Swift to sing the Somerset Cannavaro, but yeah, it's only a matter of time. She's waiting for the whatever tour it is she's doing when she plays Taunton, presumably.
Everyone else has got a gig at Wordsworth, so
Taylor at Wordsworth, you heard it here first.
Taylor Swift at Wordsworth Drive. And me, I'm here as well. I didn't write a fancy intro for myself because I scribbled that down about 5 minutes before we started recording, so I didn't bother with myself. It's fine.
Well,
wow,
the Glovies, fourth year in a row, back by literally no demand whatsoever. Not one person's ever asked for this thing to come back, and we keep giving them the goods.
Keep giving them.
Should we take up the first category then?
This was a votey category, wasn't it? This is one where we get.
Yeah, this one.
opened it up to the masses.
The public were allowed to vote on this one. So we've got three awards that you'll hear throughout this evening where the public have had their say. The first one we're going to go for is the Young Player of the Season and the nominees for the Young Player of the Season. What were the rules for the Young Player of the Season? 23 years old, must have played 15 games, 20 games? You made the rules up, Ben.
I think it was 10 games.
Okay.
I think it was 10 games.
But okay, so the nominees are Will Dawes, Ollie Thomas, Jay Falsted, Josh Hours, Dylan Morgan, Sonny Blulow Everton, and Sam Pearson.
Can I just say, by the way, that technically Zach Bell also qualified as a nominee here, and I'm very glad that nobody pointed out that I didn't include him, because why would you?
Even Zach Bell didn't point out that he was in there.
Yeah.
He's an avid reader as well.
Yeah. Oh, he is, yeah. Always on it.
Okay, so in third place, with 9% of the votes, scored a few goals towards the end of the season, it's young Dylan Morgan.
Round of applause
for Dylan.
Yep.
And in second place, with 11% of the vote, Mr. Sam Pearson, who also scored some important goals.
He scored a few goals towards the end of last season.
And the runaway, absolute runaway winner of this category with 399 votes and 70% of the votes, it's Mr. Sonny Blulow Everton with the Fans Award for the Young Player of the Season. Congratulations, Sonny. You get yourself a glovey.
Wow. Illustrious company as well with the Young Player of the Award. Tom Knowles, Morgan Williams, Owen Bevan, and now Sonny Blulow Everton, Young Player of the Year. I mean, it was a landslide as well, wasn't it? An absolute landslide.
It was. I was going to say, it's not the first time that Sonny's been in the Gloveys as well. He was nominated for the Young Player of the Award in 21-22. Only got 18 votes that time. So a big improvement for Sonny there. And he was also in the Stephen Colk Alone of the Season category as well. He was nominated for that by us too. So, yeah, not Sonny's first time in the Gloveys, but his first win.
And thoroughly deserved too. Could we have seen it coming? No, I couldn't have seen it coming. I remember when we were talking pre-season, playing Guess the Trialist, and was it Ryan? Ryan Peasland sent us a picture of, is that Sonny Blulow Everton? And we went, yes, it is.
Do you know what game it was?
I was going to say, Ian will know what game it was.
Ian, what game was it, mate?
It was Dorchester.
Oh,
the okay. Legend.
And now you're going to believe us, and now you're going to believe us.
As soon as we signed Sonny, that was it. Nailed on. Well, congratulations.
Well Sonny. Done. Genuinely well done, Sonny, and thanks for being awesome this season.
I'll take the next one because I wrote this one. This is one for us to discuss. So this is one just between us here, the Glovers cast. Plebs, the central midfield pairing of the season. Because we've had a few pairs in midfield this season through injuries, suspensions and everything else. And so the nominees for that are Matt Worthington and Charlie Cooper. Matt Worthington and Josh Hours. And Matt Worthington and Sonny Blulow Everton. So, Dave, who out of those trio of midfield partnerships, who would you say has been your favourite partnership of the season?
I think in terms of their consistency and experience and what they've collectively brought, you'd have to pick Worthington and Cooper, I think. I think you can make a strong commendation for the other two, and as we've said many times, Josh Hours when he was in there was fantastic, and we've just given Sonny an award, so we know how good he is. But I think Worthington and Cooper have been maybe not every supporter's favourite pairing, but I think when you look at what we've done this season, they're a big part of it. Any disagreement?
Anything to add, Ben?
The Charlie Cooper slander this year has been just ridiculous. I am a massive Charlie Cooper fan. It does turn my mind a little bit round a corner that we're going to give Sonny Blue the Young Player of the Year and not include him in the midfield pairing of the year. But I think that's
Would you pick him?
No, it has to be Worthy and Cooper. I like that Sonny has done other bits and he's been involved elsewhere and he didn't really play as part of the partnership when, he scored that great goal against Torquay and all the rest of it. So, Worthy and Cooper for me. Not letting Charlie Cooper go in through the glovies without more silverware. So I'm definitely going Worthy and Cooper.
Yeah, I can't disagree. One. However, I did thoroughly enjoy the Worthy Hours combination, which through sort of September, October, had a really nice time. I got no reason other than to think just quite enjoyed it. But yeah, I think shout out to Matt Worthington, who has been in every pair and played relentlessly all season up until the last couple of games where he was given a rest.
Relentless is the word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I do the next one?
Of course.
Please.
I have seen three out of five of these. I can't count. Yeah, five of these. So our third award is the plastic pitch of the season, or perhaps artificial surface of the season, we should call it. But the nominees are Jonathan Adams' favourite, Averley. The opening day of the season, Hemel Hempstead Town. Gives me shivers thinking about it, but the August bank holiday at Havant and Waterlooville. The Morgan Williams towering winner at Worthing, and a thoroughly forgettable 0-0 draw at Slough Town.
So there were more plastic pitches, weren't there? But I couldn't remember them.
Maidstone, where we lost, was one.
Yeah,
I think there's another one, but I can't think what it was either. But yeah, either of you have strong feelings about any of them?
I can't say I do. I think, I mean, we won at Worthing and that felt significant. So as a memory point of view, I'd like to go an early vote for Worthing for plastic pitch of the season.
Yeah, no arguments here. I mean, Hemel was dreadful. Had a very rude awakening to life in National League South. Terrible pitch. But yeah, we'll take one that we won on, I think.
Yeah. I definitely go for Worthing as well. Haven't, and I've heard horrible things about Averley just in general, but yeah, the pitch was probably part of it as well. So yeah, we'll be united on this one as well, and we'll give it to Worthing. So yeah, who knows, that might be their only silverware this season. We'll tap that one in.
We could be going back there next year.
Yeah, we could be. Yeah, beside the seaside.
Next up, we will go for the Richard Hines Award for Squad Player of the Year. And the nominees here are, he didn't do anything wrong, it's Josh Hours. Will also didn't do anything wrong, Dawes. Sonny Blue Low Everton, who picks up another nomination here. And Jay Falston, who was pretty good, actually, in deputising for Alex Whittle towards the back end of the season. Thoughts and opinions, please, gents.
I am going to go with Mr. Will Dawes here. I think from pre-season, painting Huish Park and getting involved with that. That's, you know, the real mantra of a squad player is someone who will muck in and do whatever job he has to. He played right back. He played left back. He played left wing. I think he played right wing as well. Always gave 110%, pulled his socks up, worked his socks off. Mm-hmm. Any Chris Hargreaves-ism you can find, Will Dawes was the embodiment of it, and he was not quite ended up being the Tom Knowles that many thought he would become for Yeovil Town. Sorry, the one man thought he might become.
I was going to say, I remember one person saying that.
But I don't think anyone can say that Will Dawes has not been a brilliant representative of the football club this season, with on the pitch, off the pitch, and everything that comes along with being a Yeovil Town player.
I wouldn't disagree with that, actually. And you've changed my mind with that little almost Ooh. Emotional monologue there, because I was going to go for Sonny again, but I'm not sure. I think Sonny played a bit too much to be called a squad player. Mm. I did want to give Josh Hours something, because because
done nothing wrong.
He's done nothing wrong, and he really hasn't done anything wrong. But no, you swayed me with that, Ian. I'm gonna go for Will Dawes as well. So, I think Will might have won that one. But Ben,
well, I mean, it's almost irrelevant now, isn't it?
Will Dawes, you're never an irrelevant.
part of me thinks I was going to go for Jay Falston there. A, because I want him to come back, and B, because at a time when we needed someone to replace the Mr. Reliable that we had, Jay Falston came in and settled in really well, made the jump part time to full time. Excellent announcement video as well, by the way, the Love Actually one, that goes a long way for me. So I personally was prepared to make my case for Jay Falston, but I'm more than happy to be sort of overpowered in this one, and a huge congratulations to Will Dawes.
Can I just point out your decision-making processes, the two of you? Ben's swayed by a video and Ian's swayed by a paintbrush. So it's like the embodiment. That's how you summarize a squad player. Someone will pick up a paintbrush. I could be a squad player on that basis.
I do like that Ben thinks Jay Falston winning a Glovie could make him come back.
So, yeah, exactly. That's it.
That's what swung it.
Hey, stared at all.
Hey, it could do no damage.
It can't.
To do not, you know.
Yeah. Three lads in a room thought I was the best squad player last season. I'm back.
Where do I sign, Coops?
The next award is for Loney of the Season. This is a Stephen Colker Award, who, for those who don't know, famously was an absolute beast.
Hang on.
Of a centre-back for Yeovil as a child when he signed for the club.
For those who don't know, are we at that point now where it was beyond some of the people's recollection of this football club?
Yes, I think. I'm sorry, mate. I think it is.
Oh, I'm so old.
I'm just writing down years, an absolute Ben. Beast of a child on there as a possible title.
And the previous winners of this category are Dan Moss and Owen Bevan. So whoever wins this one will be in esteemed company. The nominees for this are Sonny Cox, Ollie Thomas, Brooklyn Genesini, Joe Day, and Jay Falston. What do we think? I'm offering it out to the floor. Ben, where are you going?
Super Joe Day and goal. Super Joe Day and goal. I am a firm advocate for how good Will Buse is, and I have no problem with Will Buse in any way, shape, or form. But Joe Day was such a step up. And is so defensively sound. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but I wonder if having a glove, he might just make him more likely to re-sign for us.
I think so, that is the rule.
That is the rule. So for me, Super Joe Day in goal, sign that damn contract.
Yeah, I think this is probably the easiest decision we'll have to make on any of these. Although, honourable shout out for Sonny Cox as well, who, when he came in, did very well and obviously scored those two important goals to win us the game. And he hadn't done too badly since he's gone back to Exeter, has he? So, yeah, honourable mention to him. But, yeah, it's got to be Joe Doe.
Yes. I think if this one had gone to the public vote, it would have been 100% for Joe Doe.
Yeah, even Brooklyn Genesini would vote for him, wouldn't he?
I quite like Brooklyn Genesini in the game.
Yeah,
I quite like him.
If you say nice things about him, he might come as well, might he?
So let's do it.
Yeah,
okay. I'll have all of them. Jamari Clark is fuming, by the way, but I don't really care.
Okay, well, we're on to another public vote, and blimey, this took some deciding because there are a lot of nominations for goal of the season, which is a lovely thing to say after last season, isn't it? Absolutely delightful. Not only that there were lots of goals, but there were lots of good goals as well. So,
Dave, shall I just tee up the previous winners?
Mm. Oh, go on. Yeah, who are the
previous winners of goal of the season? Malachi Linton versus Wrexham.
Great goal.
With 56% of the vote. And the season before was Jordan Barnett versus Torquay.
Oh,
top bins.
Thunder bastard.
And goal of the season before was Tom Knowles versus Hartlepool.
What an evening Tom Knowles had, by the way, 3 years back.
He didn't know, yeah.
Unbelievable.
and then he buggered off to Walsall.
Okay, yeah, cheers, right. Mate. Thanks, bud.
Well, let's see what happens to some of our nominees. And there are a lot of nominees, so I'm not going to read them all out because that could take all night. But so we'll start at third place with 71 votes and 14% of the vote. It's Frank Newblaze. Was this the one we called the Lobby Savage?
A beautiful Lobby Savage.
A beautiful Lobby Savage at home to Eastbourne Borough. And in second place, this might be written slightly wrong here because it says versus Southend at home. Is that right? We did play him in the cup, didn't we? I was thinking that was wrong. So sorry, beg your pardon.
It's not Southend.
It's not, isn't it Western Supermare, the free kick?
No.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
No, it's not.
It's the Western Supermare one on the website.
Okay. Yeah.
This is absolute shambles.
This is where can you imagine this in the Oscars? You'd be outraged. Will Smith would be on stage slapping people and everything, wouldn't he? But right. So I've kind of ruined this.
Keep Southend's name out your mouth.
Exactly. in second place. With 90 votes and 17% of the vote, it is, you guessed it, Jordan Young's free kick away at Western Supermare. Although honourable mention for the goal he scored against Southend as well.
I said the one he scored against Southend was better.
You reckon? Okay. I think so. If you voted for him thinking it was Southend, then I'm sorry, but it was a free kick against Western Supermare, which went off the bar, didn't it? Didn't that go off the bar, off the post?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
And that always improves things, doesn't it? But the winner, with a quarter, 25% of the vote and 132 votes, it is Jordan Stevens's Thunder Bastard at Hampton and Richmond. So I'm going to start with Ian. Which of those three did you vote for as your goal of the season?
None.
Oh, right. Which one did you
vote? I voted for Josh Hour's first time left footer. Top bins against Eastbourne.
It was a good goal as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And important goal because we needed it. We were 2-2. And it was, clock was ticking.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you do get the chance, go back. Ben has put all the highlights in the voting field. So is the post still out?
No.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, hopefully we can
republish it now. Yeah. Now, now the podcast's out, they can fill their boots with the goals.
Go back and watch. In fact, go back and watch all of these nominations because there are some absolutely brilliant goals. So Ben, which one got your vote?
None of the three.
All right. Okay. Right.
None of the three. I went for Michael Smith against Taunton at home. It was the context of it all. Huge day, local derby. The fact that he'd set up Newblaze for the goal shortly before. It was a back heel. I even like the fact that he never broke stride. He's just running through, left foot, bottom corner, keeps moving, point up at the Thatchers. Aren't I bloody amazing? Yes. Yes, you are, Michael. Great stuff. So that's what I voted for.
That was fourth with 12% of the robbed. Vote then. So
absolutely robbed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to...
What did you go for?
I'm going to break ranks here and say I went for the winner. Because it was the only one of the ones that I saw live and in person, although I did see Rhys Murphy's goal in the same game as well, which I don't think did very well, although it was another brilliant finish. But yeah, for me, Jordan Stevens, I think that showed what a good player Jordan Stevens could and should have been for us. And if he'd have crisp-related hamstrings and all that, yeah. He showed everything that he has in his locker, along with the Quakers.
Which leads us nicely on to the Danny Rodriguez Award for the Wish We'd Seen More of You trophy. Nominations here are Jamari Clark, Ollie Thomas, Jake Hyde, and Quaver Hamstrings himself, Jordan Stevens. Thoughts and opinions, please, gents.
Well, he's already won an award, but for me, I'm going to say Jordan Stevens again. And partly because of that goal. But every time you saw him, it was exciting. Well, not every time you saw him, but a lot of what we saw of him was exciting. His pace was just phenomenal. If we'd have seen more of him, he could have been in the running for player of the season quite easily. I think he could have been that kind of that good a player for us.
I seem to remember you getting excited that he might have had shin pads on ahead of the Maid. Was it the Maidstone game?
Me?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you said, I think Jordan Stevens got shin pads on.
But he was carrying his shin pads, yeah, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah, that was it.
He's got shin pads.
I think it was. Chelmsford, yeah. I took a picture of it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That was when he was coming back from injury, wasn't it? So,
Can I be contrary and go with Jake Hyde?
Mm.
And I think, had he not been injured in the sort of January time, those months where it went a little bit squeaky, I don't think would have gone as squeaky if you'd had Hyde. You know, I think the miss of Murphy and Hyde at the same time was tricky. And yeah, and he scored, you know, the amount of goals he scored, the important goals he scored from the bench. It almost felt like he, just as he became that player that was like, let's get Hyde on and he's going to score here, he got injured and we didn't see him again until the last game of the season. So yeah, I'm going to go with Hyde.
Call me Natalie Imbruglia because I am torn. Jordan Stevens and Jake Hyde. I mean, if we'd have seen a lot of those two, we'd have won the league by 30 points. They're that good. But we just didn't. So frustrating for the pair of them. I'm giving this to Jordan Stevens only just over Jake Hyde because pre-season in our little previews, I said Jordan Stevens was going to be our player of the season, was going to be our superstar this year. And he could well have gone on to have been had we seen more of him. So because I said that from day one, I'm going to stick with him here. And Jordan Stevens gets his second Glovie of the night.
Oh.
Do you think if either of them had played more, they would have got into the non-league Bible National League self?
No.
Team of the
No, that's statistically, the best team.
It's fine, because statistically, we're still their podcast of the year, so whatever.
And Yeovil Town's 11 would beat that team. That's statistically the best team as well.
Correct.
Goodness me. Okay. The next award is the Don't Fall in Love with Footballers Award. So for those who've seen any time Tom Knowles gets mentioned, the hashtag DFILWF pops up. That is the Don't Fall in Love with Footballers hashtag, which I coined that after the heartbreak of Robin van Persie leaving Arsenal to join Manchester United because he was the Mr. Arsenal and, you know, never going to sign for Man United. So from that point on, I vowed never to fall in love with a football player because inevitably they will leave and break your heart. And that's, you know, that's just the way of football. So this is an award for those.
Ben, can we just check Ian's all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
About Tom Knowles.
It's okay not to be all right.
Yeah. Come on. Let it out.
I've got a feeling I'm about to be not all right.
I've got a feeling, yeah. I've just seen the nominees.
Okay. So the nominees for this are Zach Bell, the reasoning behind that. We signed Zach Bell on loan, and I think many thought Zach Bell was going to be one of those players that was going to be really good for us. You know, was going to be the right wing back that finally made wing backs work as a formation for Yeovil Town. Had a hell of a throw on him as well. Didn't work, but, you know, people were bigging him up from the start. Will Buse. After his heroics at the end of last season, many thought he'd step up and be the number one and really be the title-winning goalkeeper. Didn't quite happen and went off to Bath on loan. Jordan Maguire-Drew signed a new contract after the season started and after some brilliant performances in pre-season. Thought he was going to be absolutely crucial. Was not to be. And then the captain... leader legend himself, Mr. Josh Staunton, who left the club midway through the season after not playing a lot of games. I think we all know where this one's going. Ben, do you want to say anything?
It has to be Josh. Has to be Josh. Simple as that. We all fell in love with him. He too can paint stadiums like Will Dawes can. And if it's good enough for Will Dawes to win a Glovie, it's sure enough good enough for Josh Staunton to win one as well. I'm gutted we didn't see him. He was going to be the captain. He was going to lift the trophy. I hope he knows he is a National League South champion. I'm not sure he'll feel like one, but he is. So only one nomination here for me.
Yeah, I did have an inkling towards Jordan Maguire, Drew, just because of what we thought he was going to be in the summer. But I don't think of those four nominees, we can give it to anyone other than Josh Staunton. And it would almost be an insult to do so. So, Ian, do you want to insult Ben's favourite ever player? Go on, dear.
No, I'm not going to.
Well, aren't you?
I just think, did anyone think that Josh Staunton, the captain who fronted up to the media every week at the end of last season, did anyone think that he would have left the club before Christmas? Like, that was not on anyone's bingo card that he would be, you know, he would be leaving. But there we go. That's why you don't fall in love with footballers. Is this your Robin Van Persie moment, Ben?
It might well be. It might well be. Only time will tell.
Okay. I feel we need to move on now.
Quickly.
Let's go. Quickly. Okay. So the next award is the most non-league moment of the season. Oh, National League.
National League.
Moment of the season, I should say. Non-league, National League moment of the season. So it is number one, it is the crazy schedule of Truro City. Number two, also Truro related. Allowing Taunton to ground share with Truro, or Truro to ground share with Taunton, whichever way you like it. Number three is giving Weymouth the 3 points when they knew it wouldn't matter. Number four is winning the league at a National League North stadium when you are champions of National League South. And topical one now, pitching a competition with Premier League under 21s teams in it, which I don't think has been formally announced, has it yet?
No, it's rumoured to be in the works, according to The Athletic, and that's the reason why they, the National League, are also happy to scrap FA Cup replays, because they've got to find some dates from somewhere to put some other games in, potentially with the kids of teams from the Premier League and beyond. But for me, I don't think we can allow that because it hasn't actually happened. I think that's next year's peak Vanarama award. So I'm going to go with the Taunton Truro situation for me, because when that happened, everyone, absolutely everyone went, that's not going to work. It's not. That's just a silly idea. Truro ground shared at Wordsworth Drive and didn't play a single home fixture at Wordsworth Drive. That is absolutely shambolic of the highest order. And so that gets my nomination.
Well, yep. Go on.
Same for me as well. I think that was absolutely nuts when we'd seen Taunton not play any games at home for a little while. And then they thought, let's add another team to that. Let's get another one there. Yes. Carnage.
Well, it kind of is for the same reason, but I'm going to go for, not that it matters because that one's won it, but us winning the league at a National League North stadium, because the only reason that has happened is because of the ridiculous situation with Truro City. So I will join you in spirit, but I will always have a fond place in my heart for Meadow Park, isn't it? Meadow Park. Fond place in my heart, but a place I can't even remember the name of. Gloucester.
The Tiger Turf.
The Tiger Turf, yeah. It'll always be in my heart.
Crawley overlooked for plastic pitch of the season, by the way. We won the bloody league there.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. There we go. Never thought of that one.
Outrageous. Should we move on? We've been quick in our time to make fun of Hargreaves isms, but there's a few Cooperisms out there as well. So we'd like to nominate some Cooperisms of the season. We'll go with, we respect every opposition, even the rubbish ones. We'll play them in the car park if we have to. Good shout out for that, by the way, ahead of the final day of the season on the behind-the-scenes HP source. We should have won by more. We did a lot of winning by lots. It's a free hit for them. That one was a lot of bingo cards. There's no point scouting. No team plays the same. Suggesting that when they play against us, everyone parks the bus or does something a little bit different. This is a good category, by the way. I'm interested in knowing your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to go first on this one, and it's because the one that I added to the list. But I'm going to go for the one of there's no point scouting any of these teams because they play the same, which is kind of similar to it's a free hit for them, but I think it's different. Because that one I think may have appeared in just about every pre-match press conference that Mark Cooper did. There's a few you could put in that category, but I think there's no point scouting these teams because they never played the same against us is my nomination.
I'm going to go for we should have won by more because I feel like every post-match, even after winning, there was a should have scored more. Even the last game of the season against Dover, I think he said we should have scored more.
Oops, mate, they're on a plane to Barcelona. It's fine. Move on.
Yeah, so hopefully next season we will win by more.
Be nice.
But yeah, I think it was, that one for me. Should have won by more.
We've got an awkward situation here for the first time because I've got a third one that I'd like to flag up here. We'll play them in the car park if we have to. I think that quote actually extends to we'll play them up a mountain if that's what they want. Words to that effect. And I love that. It was the answer to the, are you worried about the plastic pitch thing? We'll play them in the car park if we have to. Are you worried about having to go to Gloucester? Or, you know, we'll play them in the car park if we have to. I love it. Yeah, big fan of that. So I'm not sure if we're going to do a three-way tie here or whether we just fight to the death at this point. I don't know. But my vote is for we'll play them in the car park if we have to. We'll play them at the side of a mountain.
Three-way tie.
Three-way tie? Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, cool.
I don't fancy dying tonight.
Well, then that is the funniest one. I do agree with you. That's the funniest one of all of them.
That's the one most likely to be a title of the podcast, which I think gives it extra gravitas. So I think I win. But you find you do three-way tie. It's fine.
Okay, the next category is the home win of the season. And we sure saw a lot. The nominees are Yeovil Town 3, Torquay 0. Yeovil Town 4, Taunton Town 1. Yeovil 2, Bath 0. Yeovil 2, Weymouth 0. Yeovil 2, Braintree 0. There we go. That's your nominees. That was my James Alexander Gordon impression.
Very good. Very good. I'm going early here. I'm going with Taunton. 4-1. Absolutely a Boxing Day massacre at Hewish Park. And from then on, it was nothing but fun. We were already top of the table and top of the table by a mile. And so I'd like to give it to Taunton, please.
I would go Taunton because I think I'm right saying it's outside of Didcot. Who are the team we played in the FA Cup?
Stoneham.
Stoneham. It's the only time we scored four or more goals this season, I think. And we should have won by more, really.
Probably.
On a number of occasions.
We should have, yeah.
To be fair, it was a free hit for them.
Yeah, it was. And we could have played them in the car park if we thought.
And I mean, exactly. I mean, you could scout them ahead of time if you wanted, but there's no point.
Yeah,
we did respect them though. We respected them.
Of course, we respect them.
Always respect your opponent. I think absolutely. Yeah, I think we've done them all now. I think Ian described it at the time as liquid football, and yes, it was indeed liquid football. So I concur with you there, my honourable friend.
No arguments here. Clean sweep. Full house for Yeovil Town 4, Taunton 1. Liquid football. Packed house. Michael Smith. Calm left-footed finish after a Frank Lublé backheel. What more do you need?
Yeah. And oddly, by losing, Taunton Town have been involved in winning something, which is a rarity for the alleged pride of Somerset. But on to the next award, which is the Power of Positivity Award for Moment of the Season. And I think I know which one Ben's going to go for. But the nominees are Matthew Worthington lifting the league title, breaking the National League attendance record thrice, Marcus Stewart's March of the Day, Pink Day, as we all remember it, and Alex Fisher's return and first goal back from injury. So, Ben, I think I know where you're going to go with this one, but
Where am I gonna go with this one as I stand?
I think you're
adorning my pink shirt.
I was gonna say your attire in the pink shirt probably gives me a hint, shall we say.
Well, you may well be right. I am indeed voting for Alex Fisher's return. And his first goal back from injury. What a lovely moment. Genuinely, I am actually going with Alex Fisher. I love the pink day, and Mark Robinson, Martin Hellier, everyone involved in the Yeovil Hospital charity deserves an absolute world of credit for achieving that and doing it. And we won on the day and scored a lovely goal and all the rest of it. And I kind of hope it's something that happens again and again and again. So I don't want it to win the Power of Positivity Award. I want it just to be a hugely positive thing that just keeps happening with this football club. So that's my challenge and why I'm not going for the pink day. Alex Fisher's return, first goal back from injury, and what it led to and how important he was at the back end of the last season. Alex Fisher deserves to leave Yeovil Town Football Club with a glovey in his back pocket. I'd like to see him get one here.
Ian.
That's pressure, isn't it? Ben's really piled it on there. I'm going to expand this to just Alex Fisher's return and general end of season play. I think the fact that he hurt himself so badly with that injury and just saw that in front of the Thatchers when it happened and was thinking, oh Christ, he might not come back from this. It was that bad. To come back, play a key role after going through two relegations in two separate spells at the football club, to be able to play a part, score important goals and actually win something and get his hands on a trophy and get a medal. It just felt like I said, the perfect way to bow out of Hewish Park on a high and not sort of out the back door as so many footballers do. You know, not many players get to leave a club where they're really well thought of and regarded in the way that Alex Fisher has been able to do. Alex Fisher for me, the Power of Positivity Award.
And as Ian has voted for a nomination that isn't on the list, but I'm going to agree with that. Going to agree with both of you, actually, because yes, I think I managed to snap a picture of Alex Fisher, and I'm questioning myself here now. His first goal back was the one at Farnborough, am I right?
Yeah.
In the 3-1 win at Farnborough, right, good. I managed to snap a picture of his celebration afterwards when he'd gone into the fans, and then he just walked away a little bit, and then he just turned around and screamed and punched the air, and that moment there told you everything you need to know about what that goal meant for him and everything Ian said in his made-up nomination about Alex Fisher and what he gave to us. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Whilst it's sad that he's leaving, I'm very glad that he's leaving as a hero on a high.
You make me cry. Let's move on to the You Don't Know What You're Doing Awards, sponsored by Trevor Kettle, friend of the podcast. First up is Craig Scriven.
Hang on. Sorry, Ben. I think that Trevor Kettle is the only person that I've ever seen Dave say, can I have a picture of you, please?
on that legends game,
how many Yeovil Town legends walked into the room they didn't ask a picture with, but Trevor Kettle, he wanted that one.
I did want that picture, absolutely, yeah. just to touch pure evil. No, just to see what it was. He was a nice guy though, wasn't he?
He was thoroughly nice.
Yeah.
And he knew
twat of a ref.
Yeah.
Jeez, right.
Yeah. If he had a chant, it would be we know what we are, wouldn't it? He knew who he was. Sorry, Ben, carry on.
That's fine. His nominees are Craig Scriven, who decided that Kombe Kamwimbe's challenge, which we're going to use in inverted commas on Charlie Cooper, was only worthy of a yellow card rather than a GBH charge. Gareth Thomas, who somehow flagged Reece Murphy offside, no idea, and prevented Hewish Park having the Thatcher's gold stand moment of all moments. Eugene Robinson, who just decided he was going to send everybody off when we played Hampton and Richmond. And we couldn't find the name of the ref, but the dude who refereed our preseason friendly against Plymouth Parkway, who in a 22-person melee managed to pick out Morgan Williams for not punching a player and decided he punched a player.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I am going to go for Kawembe just because I want him to have a song about him to the tune of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. And also
he doesn't win the award. Craig Scriven wins the award.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. So Craig Scriven is going to win this award because that, and I watched it a couple of times again today, was a horrific tackle. It literally, if you did that in the street, you would be in jail, I think. So, yeah, that was absolutely horrific and fully deserving of a red card. And I should have gone to Specsavers, Craig.
I'm going to go with that one as well. Because it was as blatant as they come. Seeing that, you're like, you don't even need that one slowed down for those who have the luxury. An awful, awful tackle that sent Charlie Cooper almost onto the roof of the Screwfix stand. Yeah, bad one.
I cannot disagree. That is the correct answer. I do want to give that Plymouth Parkway one a shout out. I know it feels like a very, very long time ago, but it was utterly ridiculous how he managed to pick that out and then decide that a preseason friend needed a red card in the first half. But the correct answer is Craig Scriven, who I'm just ridiculous. Utterly, utterly ridiculous.
Okay.
Send us home, Ian.
The big one, the player of the season. For Yeovil Town in a championship-winning season, I'm going to list all the nominees. I'm going to build that anticipation. Reece Murphy, Charlie Cooper, Joe Day, Sonny Blulow Everton, Jordan Young, Matt Worthington, Alex Whittle, Jake Wannell, Morgan Williams, Frank Nublay, and Michael Smith are your nominees. In third place, with 92 votes and 15% of the vote, it's the mercurial right-back, Michael Smith. Well done, that man.
Well done, sir. Well done. Thank you for coming in and making my right-hand side of the pitch, not my right-hand side, the right-hand side, feel just absolutely magical throughout the entire season. An absolute joy to behold. It's ridiculous that he's playing at our level. Ridiculous that he's playing for us, really. So very grateful for what Michael Smith brought to the
Right-hand side.
Ben's right-hand side. It made him feel magical.
Well, I'm done.
Oh, dear.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
We've ruined Dave, that, right?
Dave, you can top it now. In second place, with 22% of the vote and 132 votes, call him the governor. It's Frank Nublay. Dave, have you got nomination. Him on the log? Has he done anything to your right-hand side?
He's not done anything to my right-hand side or my left-hand side, may I add. But yeah, no, he has been excellent. I'll be honest with you, in pre-season, when our three main attacking arrivals were Jay Card, Reece Murphy, and Frank Nublay. Frank Nublay was the one I questioned the most. And I thought, I'm not really sure about him. But he's absolutely made me eat a large piece of humble pie because, yeah, he's been excellent, and you can see what he brings. And I hope he can carry on bringing it next season.
Okay. And in first place, with 225 votes and 38% of the vote, bears a striking resemblance to a World Cup winning captain. He's the Somerset Cannavaro. He's Jake Wannell.
You know.
Absolutely.
A worthy winner, I would say.
No, worthy didn't win.
Not worthy winner, but yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm right. Where did we go? Ben, who did you vote for?
I went Jake Wannell. When we signed him at the start of the season, I was like, yep, that's a really nice signing. Fantastic. He'll be a lovely third choice centre back behind Sendles, White, and Staunton. Very good. People speak highly of him at Taunton. Didn't really think any more of it. He's turned into an absolute colossus. An absolute defending machine, doesn't lose a header, very rarely gets out-positioned, scored a couple of goals as well, which I think is vital. But, yeah, incredible acquisition, fully deserved.
Yeah, I also voted for Jake Wannell, and I would add to that list, he's absolutely superb on the ball as well. And we've spoken about him and Morgan Williams and their partnership, and he's been brilliant. The only thing he lacks, I think, Jake Wannell, is a decent song about him. So if anyone can think of one of those, then let me know why it's better than mine. I'm still not bitter about that.
I went for Frank.
Oh, right. Okay. The governor.
Yeah. I went for Frank. I thought, obviously, Jake Wannell is fantastic and, of course, a worthy winner. But, yeah, I voted for Frank. I think the impact he's had on the team was huge. And I think especially towards the end of the season, with when his experienced teammates at the top of the pitch have been missing, he's, you know, that governor role. He's kind of dragged everyone with him and brought the standards up and just a real leader. But yeah, I think when you look at Jake Wannell, where he's come from before playing for Yeovil, first season in full-time football, that partnership with Morgan Williams has been a huge part of why we've won the league and how we've won the league. So yeah, very worthy winner in Jake Wannell.
As Mr. Frank Nubley said himself, goals win your games, defences win your titles. And that's why I think Jake Wannell has taken this. It's not a landslide, but it was really good numbers voting for him. And to be honest with you, Morgan Williams, Matt Worthington, Jordan Young finished the season as top scorer, doesn't get in the top three. Joe Day was brilliant. Sonny Blues picked up young player. So many players could have been in that top three. And if you swap a few of them around, no one's moaning. Mr. Consistent, Alex Whittle, another one. Reece Murphy, important goals, important times. They're all champions. They're all champions, and they'll all go down in YTFC history. I'm chuffed for Jake Wannell to come in and take the mantle off of Josh Staunton, take the glovey off of Josh Staunton, joined illustrious company, Tom Knowles, Morgan Williams, Josh Staunton, and your 2023-24 Player of the Year, Jake Wannell.
And with that, could we just thank everyone who voted? Because the numbers of people who voted, although I did notice that more people voted for Player of the Season than voted for Goal of the Season as well. So I think
people don't like scrolling.
Yeah, can't exactly. Scroll, can
yeah, they just didn't want to go through all the nominations. But yeah, I think it was 600 I saw when I looked a little earlier on the Player of the Season vote. So yeah, thank you to everyone who did vote.
Stay tuned for next year's Gloveys in a predetermined location with the same faces and the same voices and the same host leading the charge. Sweet. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Bye.
And with a quick turn, the skipper, Alex Dock, slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!